welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss the upcoming season, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, just coming off a season where you make it to the state semifinals, you bring back a lot of starters. What do you like that you've seen from the kids in the offseason heading into the 2024 season?
The edge that you can't coach. It has to come from experience of a loss. And I think that was what I saw early. I've seen consistently throughout the offseason. I never am amazed at how important it is to feel something of a loss. And this team felt a loss. And you can really see it out of our players that the extension has been carried over, and that pain of losing and not wanting to lose again has really propelled us into a very, very positive offseason and a very positive preseason. Now we're hoping that it can just carry us over into a very good regular season.
Well, I'll tell you what, you had the Jamboree this past Friday, and I know the one thing you like about it with playing the first and third scrimmage is you get to treat the second scrimmage as if it's like a halftime. You get to look at film, you get to do evaluations. However, but at the same time, you also are going to look at film afterward. What did you see afterward that you liked, or what did you see that like we still need to work on?
Competitiveness was up there. We were really competitive. I don't mean, you know, beating, but like our kids competed at a level I like to see them compete at. I liked the intensity we had. Our technique was a little suspect in some spots. And when I mean technique, when you play Helias and you're playing Rockbridge, you get exposed real easy. So if you take that one loss, you know, one step that's not correct. And that's one thing we saw in film that we corrected this week with some of our positions. It was just, and it's not much, but it's enough. If you play a team like Maryville, they'll turn it into points and they'll turn it into stopping you. So we saw that, and I think those are crucial things. And it wasn't only our ones, it was our twos. So we got a chance this week to really try to clean some things up.
Okay, you bring up Maryville, your week one opponent, and you know, one of the things we've talked about recently is just, you know, yes, they lost a lot of starters, but they also bring back a lot of kids that are ready to step up into that role. What have you, I mean, again, you're not going to have a whole lot on film from them, but what have you seen, or what do you expect to see from this Maryville
team?
Well,
one, they have a patent or a trademark on tough, strong, hard-nosed, precise kids. They do exactly what they're coached to do. In a scrimmage, they dominate all three teams. They have 2'6", 300-pound linemen that are good. They're not just size, they're good. And they got two 250-pounders. Then their quarterback is a really good player. The running back also turns around and plays middle linebacker, so you know he's tough. They got a really good receiver. They ran weak T 57% of the time, and 43% they ran spread. So you have to prepare for both. Defensively, they gave up one of the scrimmages, negative yards. So you know you're going to get the stellar defense out of them, and special teams are always solid. A great start for us, because if you make mistakes, they're going to beat you. So you've got to go into this game expecting to play your best, and that's why I like playing this early, because this has to be a game that means something for everybody involved, and it does for Maryville, for Blair Oaks, but most of all, it's for our future of the season, our players. We got to play well this week.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, as it is the case with every beginning of a season, there's plenty to talk about, so I guess we'll just dive right in.
Sure.
Looking back first, you know, it was, I think the Falcons enter every season with the goal of winning a state championship. Fell a little bit short last year, went 11-2, lost in the state semis to the eventual champion. So I guess the question is how primed are they to make a run this year at a state title?
Well, Tony, it's an even numbered year. They won in 2018, they won in 2020, they won in 2022. So by law, they have to win a state title this year,
exactly.
That's how it works. That being said,
it's pre-written.
Yeah, I really thought the 23 team was going to be the one that broke through and got them the back-to-back state titles. They were such a good team. That being said, I will say that Park Hill Central team was just so dominant. They had so much talent at their skill position players. That game really played out similarly to the state quarterfinal game against Cassville in 2019, where I believe Cassville jumped out to a big lead and Blair Oaks clawed its way back, got within one possession, but couldn't get tied or take the lead.
Right.
That's really how the Park Hill Central game was. If I remember right, I think Blair Oaks fell behind by four possessions, got it down to 5 points, got one of the best red zone stops I've ever seen. Parker Bennett had one of the greatest fourth down tackles I've ever seen, and I remember thinking at the time, Blair Oaks is going to win. They've got all that momentum.
Right.
The offense got to midfield, and unfortunately it just stalled out, and you know, Park Hill Central goes on and wins the state title the following week. I really do feel like Blair Oaks was the second best team in the state in Class 3 last year. It just goes to show you, you can't fall behind and just think, okay, well, we'll get back in the second half. You have to come out firing. And to Park Hill Central's credit, they came out firing. They had a tremendous first half.
Yeah. So the good news for the Falcon is there's plenty of returnees, and we'll get to those in a minute. But, I think it's one thing, it's an embarrassment of riches for the folks out in Wardsville. I think every year you kind of come in with these lofty expectations, and you know, some teams just gear up and hope, hey, maybe this is when we win a district title and get into the state playoffs.
Yeah.
So you know, it can't be overstated that you know there are lofty expectations, and I think the kids out in Wardsville have done a great job of rising to the level of those expectations.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we're in for another good one. It's just a matter of okay. This is a whole new year. Yes, you've got people back, but this, you know, we all start fresh starting tonight.
Yeah, I think they have to like having four All-State returning players. I mean, they graduated a lot of talent, especially on defense. You know, you can't really replace a Brady Kerperin who's now at Air Force. I mean, they were just so strong defensively. That was the group that basically, you know, that senior group had to start as sophomores and had to go through that 1 year where they gave up 31 points per game, and you could see them get so much better with each year. But yeah, as you were saying, the way Blair Oaks, way Ted LaPage has set this up is, you know, we're reloading. There's no rebuilding. We're reloading. We have these kids. When they take advantage, when they get big leads, they want to get these younger kids opportunities to play, so that way, you know, when it's their turn next year, it's not a deer in the headlights kind of look. They've been there before. Granted, it's 0-0 and not like a 48-14 type game, but still. I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see who steps up. I mean, we know that they've got talent. It's just, you know, are we going to see them kind of live up to those lofty expectations?
Yeah.
Are they going to continue that trend where they keep winning state titles
right.
even numbered years?
So before we start talking in specifics, which we'll definitely dive into here in a minute, let's just, while we're keeping in generalities, let's just talk about the schedule in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a couple different things this year. We kind of get used to seeing a similar thing each season, and changes seem to be kind of rare for the Falcons sometimes, but we do have some changes this year on the schedule.
Yeah, for the first time, the Maryville season opener is not going to be at a neutral site. You know, it was at William Jewell, and then it was at UCM in Warrensburg, and even 1 year it was at Lee Summit North, which was pretty much about as halfway between the two schools as you could get. Maryville passed a bond issue in the April election that got them new turf on their football field this fall. And now we're going to switch to a home and home.
Okay.
So Blair Oaks lucks out this year. They get to host it. But next year they're going to be the ones that get to make the 4-hour one-way drive up to Maryville. So as a result, just a reminder, the game is kicking off at 5:30, not 7, because that's a way so Maryville can get home at, like, you know, 1 o'clock as opposed to 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other changes to the schedule, they still have Lutheran North for week 2, but it's on the road this year, and it's going to be Thursday night at 6 because there's some sort of golf event at a nearby golf course adjacent to Lutheran North, and they have something that starts on that following Friday, and they basically utilize Lutheran North's campus. So that's why the game's being played on Thursday and not Friday.
Okay.
And then the week 6 opponent is also new. That's their other non-conference game, and they're playing Blue Valley Southwest out of Kansas. That one's going to be a road game. That's also going to be a 6 o'clock kickoff just because of, a longer road trip than usual.
Right.
Other than that, all the remaining games are their conference games that are staying the same, other than if they were, you know, wherever they were last year, they're at the opposite place this year.
Yeah. We'll come back to Maryville in just a bit when we dive deeper kind of into the opening game. But, you know, let's talk a little bit just about the Falcon team that we're going to see on the field
yeah.
starting tonight. And, as opposed to starting with offense, where we often do a lot of times with Blair Oaks. I'm gonna throw you a curveball.
Right,
let's just start off with defense this time. But again, still a lot of returnees on that side of the ball.
There are. I mean, last year the strength was the front seven, especially the linebackers, because you had again Brady Kerprin, you had Doug Blaha, and Jace Rackers was the other linebacker. All three of them have graduated, but that was just such a huge central part of the defense. You're going to have three new starters at linebacker, but you're going to have three returning starters on that four-man defensive front.
Okay.
You know, Bryson Barner is getting a lot of attention, rightfully so. I mean, he's a kid who's been playing varsity full-time ever since he was a freshman, so he'll be a four-year starter. Carson Lubring, he has suffered a knee injury in week two last year against Lutheran North, missed the rest of the season, but he was All-State as a freshman. In 2022, he was the only freshman in any class of football to make the All-State team, much like Dylan Hare his first year in 2019. He'll be back, and you also have Aiden Luckett, who was the, as bad as it sounds, he was the quote-unquote benefactor from Lubring's injury, because he took over for him in a starting spot and got 11 starts that he might not have gotten otherwise.
Right. Sure.
So now you've got two for the price of one, essentially, that you've got Lubrick coming back with, you know, about 15 starts under his belt, and Aiden Luckett with double-digit starts, two guys that were at the same position over back-to-back years. So they're very strong up front. I mean, if I remember right on the I think there was some miscommunication on Helias' offense the first two plays of the Jamboree, but, I mean, the Blair Oaks D-line got through there quicker than a hiccup and got two big tackles for loss right out the gate. So I think fans were definitely encouraged when they saw the defense take the field for the first time last weekend. And, you know, Warren Davis and Austin Nilges at safety, you know what, they were two sophomores that got thrown into the fire. That really, if you take a look at last year's team, you know, the secondary was where there was the least experience of the three areas, but they grew a lot over the course of the year. And not only that, but you also have Sam Closser, who led the team in interceptions last season as a sophomore. So he'll be at cornerback. So I feel like they're very sturdy all around. You know, at linebacker, the one that jumped out to me at the Jamboree was Wyatt Libert. A lot of people remember him from a few months ago. He was the winning pitcher in the baseball state championship game for Blair Oaks.
Okay.
He hit a huge growth spurt since then, and he is about 6'3", looks like he's 6'5", though, and he is, for a sophomore, he is going to be an intimidating presence at the linebacker position for Blair Oaks.
So let's flip to the offensive side of the ball. Whereas we had six returnees on defense, we got seven on offense, and of course that's always, you know, always a nice problem to have.
And technically, if you want to throw Brady Dapkus in there, technically quote unquote eight,
right,
even though he started somewhere else.
Right.
So we'll start with Tyler Baggs, simply because I thought he, again, one of the things you and I talked about this time last year was, what's it going to look like without a hair at quarterback?
Right.
Looked just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he still threw for more than 2,000 yards, rushed for more than 15, so he looked like he might
hair-like
as well
numbers.
Be a hair.
Right.
You have Hayden Lackman, who, again, he got to start as a freshman at running back because Eli Luckett tore his ACL in the Jamboree 2 years ago. So he comes in as a third-year starter as a junior. He shared duties in the backfield with Eli last year, but there were games where, you know, Hayden could take over if he wanted to. So the fact that the two of them combined for about 1,600 yards, and really it was about 800-800, is pretty evenly split. I think Hayden's got a lot of confidence. And then, again, now you throw in a Brady Dapkus who's going to take over Eli Luckett's spot in the backfield. And, you know, he had more than 1,000 yards rushing last year. So you've got, you know, a 1,500, an 1,100, and 800. I guarantee you, unless they never throw the ball, I don't know if they're going to replicate those rushing numbers this year. So to me, it's going to be interesting to see how they balance that. And especially when your first two opponents of the year are Maryville and Lutheran North, who might be two of your toughest opponents on the regular season schedule. How's the coaching staff kind of divvy that out? I mean, how much of it is going to be predicated on what they see? How much will the other defense try to take one away? Because it's going to be hard to take away all three of them.
Yeah.
So it might be one of those things where, you know, Dapkus might try to find open space for him. We might see Lackman carry the ball here and there, but he might be a big-time blocker those first few games. Tyler Baxey might be doing a lot of read options. It'll be very interesting to see. And on top of that, the I know they graduate a lot at receiver, but you've got Jackson Engelbrecht, who nearly won a state title in the 300-meter hurdles and track, and has—I mean, he ran it almost 39 seconds flat. He's got a ton of speed, and he was probably the most impressive player I saw at the Jamboree. He had—he caught both of the touchdown passes in that, and they were on two very impressive plays. One was a tough kind of jump ball catch, and the other one where it was a pass that he caught across the middle and just outran the secondary. So we talk about those three. You can't sleep on Jackson Engelbrecht either. And, you know, Jack Kerouette, Coach LePage has been big on Brendan Rackers. He's back out for football this year. He's another 6'3", 6'4", type of kid that was a key contributor for the basketball team. So the skill they're definitely set at skill players. And on offensive line, you return four of the five starters. So, and Bonnet at center, I think, is definitely going to be one to look out for. You got Ketting and Restemeyer on the left side. You got Schulte and Ahola on the right side. It's just going to it's gonna be a typical Blair Oaks offensive line. We might have graduated one or two guys, right, but guess right. what? We've got one or two guys that are going to pick up right where they left off, honestly.
So the interesting thing that I'm noting, because I pick up on things,
sure.
but I've heard you mention a lot of names, and I haven't heard a lot of duplicates from one side of the ball to the other.
That was something I also noticed when I was, writing out the two deep on my piece of paper when I was talking to Coach LePage for a season preview, and I'm like, Coach, I didn't write down any names a second time, so are we going to see you come out with, 11 and 11, nobody starting both ways? And I don't know if I've ever seen that happen at Blair Oaks. I don't know if
right.
you've ever seen
No, not in my time.
Just because a school that size,
sure.
it's impossible. And
it's so rare for class
yeah.
three. I mean, I think you see it more in class one and class two out of necessity
exactly.
sometimes, or you just, a starter at maybe diminished capacity
yeah.
is still better than his backup. But, I mean, at class three, you're talking about a big enough level where you still see it. I mean,
yeah.
you just have to, because the schools are that small.
The reason Blair Oaks can take advantage of this is because they do have 70 kids out, which is a huge number
right.
for class three.
Sure.
Talking with Coach LePage, they had so many kids out last year that, if I remember right, the way he described JV games were, we let one half of the JV team play the first half and the other play the second half, because
okay.
That's the best way we could guarantee everybody playing time, because they don't play a freshman schedule. And the thing he explained to me on this was, last year I think we saw a couple of guys, like maybe a Joey Wilde or maybe a Nick Closser, play both ways. They only
right.
had one or two. But the argument, he said there was something that the coaching staff really looked at this offseason and said, okay, for example, let's say we have one guy going one way and he's 85%. Let's just throw 85% out there, and he's going up against a guy who's 100% that goes both ways. Yes, the guy at 100% is going to have greater capacity at the start of the game, but when we get to the fourth quarter, and that one guy for Blair Oaks is probably still around 85% because he's only playing one way, the other guy playing both ways, maybe he's down to 70%, and
right.
now all of a sudden the advantage shifts to the Blair Oaks
sure.
kid's way, and he's like, I'd rather have the more rested kid come the fourth quarter. And on top of that, he's like, I want to get these guys playing time. Like,
right.
the back, like we talk about, not only is it 22 unique starters, but it's 22 unique backups. Like, nobody is a starter on offense and a backup on defense. It's 44 different kids on the 2D.
And I've got to believe that this is not just something where a coach would just pick to win this battle just because. You've got to have players that can play.
Yes.
If you've got a lot of players that can play, and one of them is just as good as the other, then that makes this a whole lot easier. So if you have that depth of
yeah.
talent, it kind of makes the decision for you, where you go just, yeah, plus it lessens the amount for injuries.
Exactly.
It takes a lot of things out of the equation that might make things problematic later
exactly.
on.
Exactly, and for example, let's say a two-way player does get hurt. Now all of a sudden, you're going to have to find
two spots.
And
right.
it would be smarter to have two different people as opposed to one person going both
sure.
ways. So it's one of those things where if somebody gets injured, yes, somebody's ready to go. You're not relying heavily on one person. Yes, they're going to rely heavily on like those all-state kids to go out and do what they've been doing. But this is one of those things where you're using 44 of the 70 players, and they're going to get a lot of valuable experience. Yes, when we get as the season moves along, Blair Oaks might start playing one or two guys both ways, like a Brady Dapkus has had experience with that, Southern Boone. I think he had a few interceptions last year on defense, but he was kind of a great three-facet type player. But, again, I kind of like this just because it does – when we're sitting here talking next year, we're going to talk about kids who are going to have more experience than they would have had there been a lot more two-way players.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about tonight. Again, it's 5:30 start at the Falcon Athletic Complex against Maryville. You know, at a certain point, we don't have to say much about this match.
No.
Other than the fact that it's a great one. It's fantastic for both programs. It always lives up to the hype, and I think both teams get a lot out of it. So it's a great week one game.
It is. You know, Maryville's bringing back a couple of All-State players. They had a tough ending to the season last year. They beat St. Pius at the 10th at Kansas City in the regular season, but weren't able to beat them the second time around the district title game. But, I mean, Maryville was definitely, I would argue, one of the top eight teams in the state, even though they didn't make the state quarterfinals. I know Blair Oaks has won 7 in a row against Maryville, and I know if you look at only the final score, some of them look lopsided. But, you know, one of those games were when in 2020 when Maryville couldn't bring its full roster because of COVID. There was one game where it was close until the early goings in the fourth quarter, and then Blair Oaks scored 2 or 3 touchdowns and made it look more lopsided than it really was. It's a great game, and we've seen a lot of close contests. And to me, what I'm looking forward to the most is there's going to be an atmosphere. Nothing against the neutral sites, but both teams didn't really travel all that well because they both had to travel 90-plus minutes. Right. Now it's going to be a true home game for somebody. For Blair Oaks, I think you're going to see a huge crowd. And, yes, the Maryville parents or whatnot, they're still going to come, and it's going to be vice versa when it goes to Maryville next year. But to me, I'm looking forward to seeing what the atmosphere is like because it's going to – I hope it's a lot like what we saw in 2017 in the state semifinals.
And I do think sometimes you get a larger fan contingent for the road team sometimes because they feel like we have to show up because they're going to be so outmanned. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's almost like, the neutral sites are kind of easy to go, well, it's neutral sites, so it should be fair to both. We don't necessarily have to make that trip, but you might want to make the trip just to go, let's lend some support to the boys and hope that that helps out. So I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast then, and I guess I'll just ask you who wins tonight and by how much.
I think Blair Oaks still wins. I mean, Maryville has a new quarterback, but again, they're like a factory. They just one person grad. Sure. It's like Blair Oaks. They're a factory. So they're going to be talented. I just think the Blair Oaks defense is they found a way to step up the past few years. I feel like they're going to give a similar effort again tonight. So I'm going to say Blair Oaks comes away with a 42-21 win.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.